702 Sports Radio, 99 The Game. It's the morning shift. Mike Johnson, Ali Mack, Squid Billy, Dial On, bringing you all the latest and greatest the Atlanta sports scene here on this Monday morning. Hopefully you guys are having a good Monday morning to kick off a fun week, and we're doing the same thing, having fun with you guys. Look, we got to break back into this Kyle Pitts conversation, and I want to go ahead and get right into it off the top because I think there's we talked about this a little bit earlier. I think there's a lot of caveat, a lot of nuance to this conversation about Kyle Pitts. Now, news broke kind of over the weekend. I think it was Jordan Schultz from Fox Sports reported the Falcons are listening or fielding calls. Now, I think there's an important factor of this that you have to make sure you understand when you read this news. Did Kyle Pitts ask for a trade? No. Are the Atlanta Falcons actively trying to trade Kyle Pitts? No. The news came out that they would consider moving him because they're receiving calls for a day two pick.
Hey, there was another caveat. My favorite part was when I heard the report, well, apparently Kyle Pitts is open to it. Well, yeah, what's the alternative?
Yeah.
He doesn't have a no trade clause. Mm-hmm. So, what's he going to do? Oh, I refuse this trade. Okay, well, you're still going there. So yeah. You can not run routes there,
yeah,
effectively.
And you know what's funny is I was reading a CBS Sports piece where the guy was just so completely wrong about everything he was saying. And I'll have to find, I don't want to put the guy's name on blast, but it was like, earlier this offseason, the Falcons picked up, Kyle Pitts' fifth-year option. And they'll have him on the roster through 2026. And I was like, dude, I was like, it literally had me question myself. I'm going, no, that was last offseason, and this is his fifth year. Like, he had even went through, this whole dialogue of, here's the timeline, Kyle Pitts, drafted in 20. And then you go all the way through it, and you go, no, dude, you can't have a fifth-year option in the sixth year. Like, that's not how this thing works. And it is frustrating because there's so many nuances, and Allie and I were talking about this morning. There's so many parts of this conversation where it's like, you don't even know what you don't know. There's people that have so many thoughts on this, and you're like, you don't even know what you don't know. You don't even know the involvement in this conversation.
Maybe that reporter thought that he applied for an injury red shirt.
Yeah, maybe. it's a college ordeal. He had a COVID year.
Yeah. Oh, wait, that doesn't apply to the NFL.
Hang on for a second. Back it up.
You know the other thing that I don't want to hear? I don't know how you feel about this, but you know the one thing I don't want to hear, because I heard it multiple times, even on this radio station. Well, look, I mean, if Kyle Pitts balls out, first off, I heard that some people thought it might be contract. You know, I've heard that. But I heard, if he balls out, we should franchise tag him. In no way, in bleeping hell, I am going to franchise tag Kyle Pitts after this season. No way. I'm not going to pay him top, 3%? The average of the top three tight ends in the league? No. Because essentially he would have given me two good seasons in five.
Yeah.
And some of it has looked really bad. So a contract year, he balls out, and suddenly I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm going to give you – and not to mention you got other guys that actually – you need to take care of and are more pertinent to take care of.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, if Kyle Pitts does stay here, because rumors don't always come to fruition, what would a good year look like for him, in your opinion? What stats do you want to see?
800 yards.
I was just about to say the same exact thing.
And seven touchdowns to me. And look, don't get it wrong. I don't dislike Kyle Pitts.
No, not at all.
In fact,
not at all.
I don't think there was there might not have been a person that really was secretly happier than me when they drafted him at fourth, because I watched him in college. Mm-hmm. I'm a Florida fan. I loved watching him in college. Absolutely. He was so much fun to watch. And that first year, dude made some amazing plays.
Yeah.
And then he did get injured. And I gave him, you can ask Mike, I gave him all the benefit of the doubt in 23.
A lot of grace period. Yeah, I agree.
And I argued with you, Mike,
yeah,
about some routes that I thought that we went.
We're being too hard on him at times, which is fair.
Then last year.
Yeah.
Then last year happened. And when there's so, look, The signs are on the wall. When Kirk Cousins came out and said what he said in training camp last year, well, you got to stay on him.
Yeah, I got to stay on him. I got to do a better job of staying on him.
Not what I want to hear about my fourth overall pick.
Well, then, would Michael Penix at QB, does that make you believe like Kyle Pitts maybe could see better stats this season? Somebody else kind of running point here?
Yeah, I'll let Bo, well, I'll go first on this one because I think that there is a lot of upside. I don't think it's so much the passing game as I am hoping, Zach Robinson lends himself more to play action with a, and I'm not going to, I don't want to call him a mobile quarterback. That's not what his game is. But he can move a little bit more. So the bootlegs and things like that and actually working play-action passes, you'd love to look at it and go, oh, yeah, well, Michael Penix being able to do that, that involves Kyle Pitts a little bit more, right? You can play-action some of the linebackers, and you can ask Kyle Pitts if he's attached to the line of scrimmage to get more vertical, and you can dump it in over the second level and split the cover two and whatever else. But I don't know. Like, Michael Penix in and of himself, I would have trusted Kirk Cousins more. And just if we're just looking at the passing game, I would have probably trusted Kirk Cousins more to involve him because of the depth of the reads when you have a quarterback in year 13 or 14. Like, he's going to make it to the tight end. Michael Penix would be in year two. It's going to be a lot tougher for him at this stage in his career. But, again, like I said, Zach Robinson may be growing as an offensive coordinator with a quarterback that can move. Maybe the play-action game comes around a little bit.
I disagree in a few things. I don't know what mobile is considered now. Because back in the day – I hear it all the time. Back in the day, Michael Penix would be considered a mobile quarterback.
Right.
Because I don't know what you people think he is or isn't, but he can move, dude. He is not Lamar Jackson. He's not Josh Allen. But Michael Penix was a guy that Indiana used as a running quarterback when he was there. Now, yes, he's had injuries, but he still can move, okay? Right. He has grown so much as a pocket passer and his reads and everything since he left Indiana that you don't even need to use all that. Plus, he's not, I would say, his strong suit is now a pocket passer. So I agree with that, but he can move. He's mobile.
I think it's important to draw a distinction between mobile quarterback and running quarterback.
But yes, I agree. And I think he's not a running quarterback anymore.
No.
But he is mobile. Now, the fact of... I actually disagree because I think Michael Penix is willing to take more chances because of his arm strength than Kirk Cousins would. And I think that could actually help Kyle Pitts because I go back and look at that throw in Washington and everybody talks about it. Look at the chemistry. It was a rope that even I would have caught.
I was going to say.
It wasn't terrible coverage on that route. It was a good route. Kyle ran a good route. The coverage wasn't terrible either. But because of what Penix did in pre-snap read, he made that play. Okay? So I think that Penix is more likely to shove it in there because he knows he can. And I think Kyle could benefit from that.
Pause, but yes.
That's a real term.
Yeah. Pre-snap read, though, I'm with you because you and I talked about this a couple months ago, and we were talking about Kyle Pitts on that exact play and Michael Penix going through his reads, and we were talking about, hey, is he reading the defense? Is he working through his progression, whatever else? And I made the point to you at the time, and it stood the test of time later when Michael Penix talked to Brian McFadden. That was all pre-snap read. Like, you look at the alignment of the safeties, the linebackers, everybody else involved, and to your point, and we used to say this all the time, that ball caught him. You know what I mean? That, he didn't catch the ball. The ball caught him.
That's a
classic throw of the ball caught him. Yeah, to your point. So I'm with you. Like, maybe there is a little bit more willingness of risk down the field when it comes to Kyle Pitts. It just, again, it's like, and we had this conversation all through the season last year. I talk about, hey, play action pass, can help him. It can allow him to get vertical and pull the second level defenders up closer to the line of scrimmage. Well, if you look at it that way, then you have to attach Kyle Pitts at least near the line of scrimmage, right? If it's going to help if play action pass is going to help him, now you have to attach Kyle Pitts to the line of scrimmage or get him close off the hip of the tackle. He's not good there. That is a bad matchup for him. We've shown it time and time again. And as you saw the progression of the season last year, Zach Robinson went further and further and further away from utilizing him in situations like this. Charlie Warner become much more involved towards the end of the season, you started involving other tight ends and attaching other people to the line of scrimmage. You remember week one last year, and I climbed all over Zach Robinson after that performance against the Pittsburgh Steelers because I was like, there's no way you went through the entire offseason and thought, this is the way to go about my business with T.J. Watt. Caleb McGarry is going to struggle. How are you going to answer that? You're going to attach Kyle Pitts to the line of scrimmage to chip and help out Caleb McGarry? That's not going to work out. That's not his forte. So the more you move throughout the season, the more you saw them get away from situations and scenarios where Kyle Pitts was attached to the line of scrimmage or close to the box defenders. And there's a reason for that. It's because he's not good in those scenarios. He doesn't want to do it. He's not. Wide receiver in his mind. And look, if you really held his feet to the fire, I bet he would admit that. I want to run routes.
But see, now we're addressing the problem. The problem is, and it's multifaceted, because some people will say we only care about his productions where he's drafted. That's right. But guess what? That's a real thing. And you can't tell me he's a mismatch, look how talented he is, he's a unicorn, and then tell me, well, you don't use him right. Because last time I checked, if I got a unicorn, how am I using him wrong?
Right. At this point, he's just a wide receiver.
Essentially.
I mean, that's what it is. Essentially, he's a wide receiver.
And it's not, you know, I said this last year. I was the first person that I remember hearing say this, and you, I think, can back me up on this, was that they were using Drake to catch the balls and run some routes that Kyle should be doing. Because they trusted Drake. He makes contested catches.
Right, the catch
radius.
And he's
physical.
The hands.
And his route running was crisp, and he was physical.
Yeah. Power slot position.
So who's the unicorn on the freaking team?
Yeah. I do want to get – we got about one more minute left. I do want to get to this real quick, and I'll throw this at you. If you got a call tomorrow and they said, hey, fourth-round pick, we're sending it right now, send us Kyle Pitts. You're saving, what, $10 million? You're post-June 1 at this point. So you're saving probably $10 million against the cap. Is that enough for you to be able to get this done?
Well, it wouldn't matter if it was June. This is the issue. It wasn't. If you were trading him, June 1st didn't matter.
Right.
You were getting it off.
Yep.
I tend to say no because now I've got to go find a guy that a catch or a receiving
tight end.
That's
the biggest issue.
And the thing is, look, I know this is it. This is a swan song, so I can live. I can live with 600 yards and 6 touchdowns, which is essentially what I think he gave you. Like
he gave, I think it was 4 touchdowns a year ago. Yeah, 600 yards.
I can live with that because you know, at times the offense wasn't the problem, and at times it was. But I could live with that right now because I know that this is. I'm walking away, but I have to go find a receiving tight end, and I think that they figured out how to work with him. But you still got to have a guy that can now. That can replace that production, and that guy's not this. That guy's just not floating in free agency right now.
I don't know that you do though. I'm trying to think back on those Rams teams that Zach Robinson came from. I can't think of, you know, like you can go with Ray-Ray McCloud as your fourth offensive option.
Well, yeah, but
I think that's what they wanted to do at the end of last year.
But you did. Ray-Ray McCloud gave you like 700 yards.
That's what I'm. That's my point.
Yeah, but Kyle still gave you almost 600. Is my point. So you.
Like, I'm agreeing with you and saying that I don't think that, but I don't think they have to find a top flight receiving tight end. I think it's just you plug in Charlie Warner, let him do his blocking, and then you know you can go with 11 personnel.
But you still got to figure out how to replace 600 yards and 4 touchdowns of production if you get rid of him. I think you're cutting your nose off to spite your face to get a fourth round pick at this point.
Yeah, if a day 2 pick.
Then I'm more open to it. Yeah,
me too. Me too. I'm taking that phone call, baby.
Well, remember,
third.
Remember, you don't have a first.
I was going
to
say.
Next year. You're way back in the first round next year.
You're
if you
already backed
to
into a corner. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to go in the huddle. There's some interesting news that was reported over the weekend about the NFLPA getting ready for a European division. We'll tell you the latest on that when we come back. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 722, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Morning Shift. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We're going to go in the huddle here in just a couple of minutes. There is some news to get to college athletics-wise. And yes, it was a crazy weekend in playoff baseball and college sports. But Jay Batt, the AD from Georgia Tech, has reportedly signed with Michigan State. And my first takeaway from that is, when can we expect Ford Field at Spartan Stadium? Because if you guys remember, Jay Batt was behind the Hyundai Field over at Georgia Tech. Like, as soon as he got that position just a few years ago, all of a sudden the amount of money coming into that program actually went through the roof. But Michigan State values a guy who can navigate the current landscape of college sports, and evidently they thought Jay Batt was that guy. So here you have it.
I think it's a smart hire for Michigan State. I'm not sure what's wrong with Jay Batt that he wants to leave Atlanta for East Lansing, Michigan, but
the weather's not quite as nice there.
Yeah, no,
I hope
thanks.
He knows that.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
And elite at one time an elite basketball program. They're still close. I mean, they still have a very good basketball program. Football leaves a lot to be desired. They also had that whole scandal not too long ago about the doctors.
Seems
and
like
stuff.
They've had one after another. To be honest,
yeah, I'm not overly sure what the thought process is. I'd have to do more research on Jay Batt. Maybe that's a homecoming of sorts. Maybe that's where he's originally from. I know he was the assistant AD at Alabama before coming here. But yeah. I thought he did a great job at Tech. He made the right hire with Brent Key for sure. And so it's definitely one where I think he did a good job at NIL as well. I think Georgia Tech's going to miss him.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about it. And I think the biggest thing, and you pointed to this, fundraising. And I read it that there was a 73% gain when he was hired in fundraising at Georgia Tech. Now, they're going to have to find somebody, to your point, in that position, they can get some of those same things done. But when you read it and you look at the current landscape, the NIL, the house settlement, everything else going on with money now, where you're going to have 20 plus million dollars kind of just throw around at your athletes. Yeah, I would say fundraising probably at the top of that list. And he obviously has shown the ability to do that. I have no clue what direction you go if you're Georgia Tech from this standpoint. Now, he hired Brent Key, and that obviously has been a good thing. Damon Stoudemire was also his hire. So we'll see what happens. But that's I'm with you. I would be curious to know the inside of saying, well, there's pros and cons of the move, but I'm going to move on to Michigan State because it does seem – I don't know. And Georgia Tech's just got their hands full trying to find somebody else for that role.
Well, and maybe they like who's there now. Maybe the in-house, maybe the assistant. Maybe that's something that Jay Batt has prepared. I just don't know enough about it.
I was going to say, I'm texting Garrett Chapman as we speak.
I'm not really an expert assistant ADs, but
yeah,
you know.
All right, Dylon, let's roll. A little bit of a back and forth, if you will, between Mike Florio, which give me an eye roll, and the NFLPA, where he put out a story that said that they are actively preparing for a European division in the NFL. NFLPA responded, says, we're not actively preparing, but, you know, we have discussed the European division in the NFL, just the semantics, just what word do you want to use? You know what I mean? Discussing, preparing, whatever it may be. I'm not a huge Mike Florio guy, but it's just semantics at that point. I don't know where you guys lie on this, but as a person thinking about this through the player lens, it makes me nauseous to think about a division over, and they would have to have those teams would have to have like a base camp in the States and just play like four games at a time over here.
I despise even the conversation of this. Because not to mention, you're going to have to expand a couple of teams, right? I mean, you could take maybe, I don't even think Jacksonville built that facility down there to practice and they're redoing the stadium. I don't foresee them going anywhere.
No, it's definitely, it's definitely expansion at this point.
And
I don't know how it works, and I don't know how you fit in a completely new division in a league that is incredibly symmetrical.
I think it was Andy and Randy the other day. I was listening, and they were doing their AMA, and someone called in and was like, why isn't there a team in Canada? Why isn't the NFL put a team in Canada like they did the NBA and MLB and MLS has done? And there's not really an answer for that. I know there's certain places you don't want to be in Canada in the wintertime, and it would definitely have to be a dome stadium. But
I was going to say, I would, Buffalo wants to have a conversation.
Well, I know, but let me tell you something. There's certain, I think further you go west, northwest, in Canada, I think it might be colder than Buffalo. I'm not sure.
I don't think there's any doubt. Yeah.
But, my point of that was, would a Canadian team be a part of the European? I know it's not Europe, But how do you expand? Because you got to put a team in England, in the UK, in England, right?
Sure.
You probably got to put a team in Germany, because that's another place you're going.
In Spain.
Do you have to put a team in Spain? You haven't even played there yet.
I thought you did. You didn't play Madrid?
You're going to this year, okay. But this is the first time that I recall.
I don't know.
So why not put a fourth team in Canada and be like, yeah, it's our European.
You want to talk about having a leg up on your division? A team in Canada as opposed to three other teams in Europe? Like, I'm taking the odds on the Canadian team every single time.
Yeah, I agree, but I just think this is why I think it's dumb. I hate this whole thing. It's dumb. I don't like it. And I just
cut that, copy and paste it.
Yeah, write that down. 729. So speaking of in the huddle, do you guys care that Josh Allen got married over the weekend?
I care more about the fact that who he got married to than
Miss Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah, I loved her in True Grit. Oh, she obviously was really young. She's all grown up now.
Yeah, she is quite beautiful. The ceremony was
good
in Southern California, and there are paparazzi photos. And you know what a shame that her wedding was completely ambushed by these photogs. But right. I'm very happy because I got to see the dress.
Right.
But I think the reason the photogs found out where they were going to be is Bills left tackle Deion Dawkins. He spilled the beans back in March on Good Morning Football. But after that interview, everyone was like, oh, so it's May 31st, right? And he was like, I know nothing.
That's one of those things
anything.
Where you're like, my bad. That is on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't realize, went on the NFL Network and let it dig.
Yeah.
Deion probably had to have a conversation with Haley.
I'm sure Haley was a little furious.
What'd
with
you think
Deion.
Of the dress? Did she look
beautiful?
Beautiful.
It was strapless, and then she had long opera gloves as well. I mean, Haley Steinfeld, as Bo knows, she is very beautiful.
Yeah, check that out. Get you a morning show that can do both, guys. Get you a morning show that can do both. I don't know. I don't usually. You're like, hey, do you guys care? I don't usually pay attention to things like that, but it is something like my wife would bring up and be like, did you know Josh Allen had a girlfriend? I'd be like, no.
I actually did not know that he was engaged to Haley Steinfeld until Deion Dawkins did that.
I've never seen True Grit. What's that movie about?
Blank stare.
I haven't seen True Grit either.
I haven't seen it either. Isn't it Clint Eastwood? Am I so wrong?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
Bo is absolutely fuming right now.
So first off, the original True Grit was John Wayne.
Okay.
So one of the two legendary cowboy actors, just wrong one. And then they redid it with, the Big Lebowski, Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
He was a part of the remake. And Haley Steinfeld
played
the girl in it. And Matt Damon was in it.
Okay.
So, and so was the guy that played Dale Earnhardt in the three movie that ESPN did. What's his name? His name always.
You would have thought a movie with Jeff Bridges and Matt Damon. I would have checked that out. But.
And it was recent, too. It was like 2010, I think.
Yeah. Speaking of one last note on Haley Steinfeld, I just am taking this moment to really shame Simone in the fact that we have not gone to see Sinners yet. I still haven't seen Sinners, and I'm upset about it.
Oh, is Haley Steinfeld movie. In that?
Yeah, she's one of the main roles besides Michael B. Jordan.
Another role player in this movie, Barry Pepper.
That's who I was talking about.
Dude, that guy is so good.
Barry Pepper played Dale Earnhart in the movie 3.
Okay, yeah.
That ESPN made. That's what
also
I
also in
what,
Band
name.
Of Brothers or he, Saving Private Ryan or both.
He was in Saving Private Ryan for sure. I don't recall him in Band of Brothers, but he was in another. Barry Pepper's actually, you're actually 100% accurate, a role player. Barry Pepper is a pretty good actor. I think he was also in Enemy of the State.
Yeah, it might have been. One last thing, and then the huddle. It looks like the Steelers and TJ Watt, they're not close to a deal, and nothing is imminent. It looks like he has been presented with an offer, according to some of the Steelers insiders that have put this out. He obviously has not signed it, so I don't know what to think of that, but he's got to be looking. Myles Garrett made $40 million per. He's got to be looking in the ballpark of $40 million per, right? He's kind of on par with Myles Garrett, and this just seems like one of those guys you're going to be like, highest paid defensive player of all time, TJ Watt. And Lord knows, we saw it firsthand last year, he's probably worth every dime, is he not? I'd give him $40 million per. Come on down, baby. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, $40 million per. Let's go ahead and do this thing.
Oh, how he wasn't enemy of the state. How could you not? He's one of the top four pass rush.
He holds all the cards in this negotiation.
I would give Trey Hendrickson the money too. I would give him $35 to $40 million. He's been one of the best edge rushers in the league the last 5 years.
And don't that saga play out?
And guess what? Guess what? For all you Arnold Ebiketie haters, you know what year Trey Hendrickson decided he was going to be an All-Pro? Year four.
I was going to say five. I thought he got all the way through his rookie contract in New Orleans.
Well, no, he wasn't a first-round pick.
Oh, there you go. Check that out. All right, so we're going to go ahead and roll on. And we come back. We got to have more of this conversation about the Braves. It got a little bit heated in here earlier. I want to see more fire and grit from Brian Snicker. Bo says it doesn't matter, that motions don't matter in baseball. You can just kind of roll the ball out there and just win a World Series. But I tend to disagree. I want to get in this conversation as well.
You don't misrepresent my words. Don't do that. No, don't misrepresent my words. Not fair.
Okay. Well, the people can decide on the other side. We're also going to hit a mic'd up. My son got an autograph from a NASCAR legend that was just bought at a store. And he has no idea what's going on and why somebody scribbled on his book. And so I'm going to be curious to get some answers from you guys out there about how much the autographs really even mean these days in 2025. Stick with us. It's the morning shift rolling on, having a lot of fun. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Ellie Mack, and Dylan at 7:41. Braves are on the struggle bus. Lost the series to Boston over the weekend. Yesterday lost 3-1. And really, everything in that game happened in the first inning. Mike, you were there?
Yes, I was. You can see that at MPJohnson79. Check my story. MPJohnson79. I was, I would say, between 8 and 10 feet away from where that ball, Trevor Story's double hit off the wall, and he cleared the bases in the first inning. And I was like, man, this is going to be an action pack. Just offensive fireworks. I'm pretty sure that game, yeah, somebody had to check my math on this because I was gone by the time I heard the fireworks. Pretty sure the game was over in like 2 hours and 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Like something insane as far as how fast that went. We took the kids out and let them play in the splash pad outside during like the seventh inning stretch. And then all of a sudden the fireworks were going off. And I was like, holy crap, that was a quick game.
It's over. How many innings did they sit through before you had to get up and move around?
Ooh, three.
Okay.
Yeah, we made it about three innings. Yeah, it was my expectation. I don't think my wife was not a fan. She was like, "Why, you know, got these seats." They made it through about three innings, and I was like, "Hey, let's go get some food.
Yeah,
walk around." They were definitely more palatable walk around. But again, to your point, the game was the bases cleared in the first inning, top of the first, and that was it. And then Marcelo Ozuna comes up, hits a home run, not too long after, and we celebrated. And after that, I'm not sure anything would have kept my kids' attention through the end of that game, but there definitely wasn't anything to look at.
Mike, you were close. 2 hours, 13 minutes.
I was going to say,
wow.
You were close.
It was a quick one, dude. Like, it was insane how fast it went. Like I said, that's cool. Like, games that fast are cool. I think a lot of times when you have kids in attendance, because it's like, oh, it's just happening really quick. You get the seventh inning stretch, God Bless America, the fire, you know, fire. But, like, there was just nothing for them to cling on to, especially sitting out in center field, which last-minute tickets, 2 hours before game time. Cheap. They didn't have any clue what was going on. They were like, hey, can you give me my crayons?
Can we get Dippin' Dots?
Yeah. Which, by the way.
Dang.
Shout out to Bo here. If you need to know this information, you can take a diaper bag into Truist Park. Son.
Pack it.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, dude, if I didn't have kids, I'd strap a baby doll to my chest and a baby Bjorn and be like, hey, my diaper bag.
This is good information. Get out of this.
The baby's asleep. Baby's asleep. Back up. Yeah. So,
what are you going to sneak like a bottle in the baby?
Well, I'm not going to say that live out on the radio, but yeah, wink, wink. You know, you could do whatever you needed to.
That's interesting.
Yeah, good for you.
I actually bought a car of the Angel's Envy whiskey for this engagement because you always talk about it. I've never had it still.
Great stuff. Finished rye is insanely good.
Hey,
speaking of stuff, I'd sneak in a diaper bag. Definitely go that route.
You might have an issue with that.
Just watered down Coca-Cola, sir.
It's flat.
Yeah, the ice melted.
Yeah. Don't smell like Coke, son.
Yeah.
Well, you know. Ed sucks. This series sucked. The Braves had one day where they did something. Shout out to Schwellenbach, who, that's what you want to talk about, something we needed to mention. Where did 100 come from?
Man, it's terrifying. I'm terrified.
Mean, so Abe and I had this conversation in April, and I said, regardless of when and how Spencer Strider comes back, Schwellenbach is now the best pitcher on the staff. Now, Chris Sale has risen back or gotten back to that I would say Cy Young type performances.
He'd like to have a word, yeah.
However, a guy that can throw six pitches and top out at 100 multiple times in a game, oh boy, it almost to the point where I was like, that's what I want to see Brian Snicker do, is walk out there and say, hey man, you don't got to hit 100. Like, just keep it around 98. We don't, when the playoffs get here, and if we make it, and we need you to hit 100, then I want you to rear back. But let's just keep that let's keep that elbow healthy.
Chris Sale said this about a month ago, did he not? Where he was like, you know, they're like, hey, your velocity's down to 94 at some points early in the game, and he's like, I can't make it, you know, 30 starts and 200 innings by hitting 97 on every pitch. I can't. I just can't do it. Like, nobody can. And when you come off the A.J. Smith-Shawver news about him having, obviously, the elbow issue and being pulled the other day, and you look at 100-mile-an-hour for Schwellenbach, I'm like, dude, I'd be sick.
It was like,
I'd be sick if anything were to happen.
It was like 7 or 8 pitches that were 99 and above, mm-hmm. including, what was it, Allie, like 2, I think, or maybe 3 that hit 100.
Yeah, it was nuts.
One of them was 100 and a half, like 100.5.
Well, and it was his birthday, too. So it was like within the stars that this needed to happen for him that day.
I don't know
what
kind of cake you had this morning.
Yeah.
But whatever it was, dial it back up.
Hope it wasn't no Profar cake. Yeah. Then it could be bad.
Please don't do that. Don't even put that out to the atmosphere right now.
Hey, you know who comes back this month?
I need those problems.
I'm pretty sure Profar comes back the end of this month.
No way. No, yeah. It's got to be July. It's got to be July.
Well, I mean, he's eligible to come back, and then I know that he can start rehabbing like 2 weeks before the due date.
Huh.
Oh, man.
I think when I say rehabbing, I'm pretty positive playing in the minors.
What do you think the reception will be like when Profar comes back?
See, that's so interesting because he didn't even have a chance to win us over.
We barely even knew you.
We barely even knew you before you really made us mad, man. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Bostradamus is right, by the way. Ding.
Well, there's a surprise. I'm right.
Eligible to come back June 29th.
No kidding. Right at the end of the month. Wow. Yeah. Snuck it in there.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be interesting, and obviously we'll track that throughout the month, and hopefully he can provide some emotion, you know, maybe a little spark plug,
maybe a little
get things fired up.
Do you think it'll depend on how our emotions are at that point, how the Braves are doing at that point? If we're doing well, it's like, yeah, we've got another person to add to the roster, or if we're doing bad, it's like, this is kind of your fault.
No, you're absolutely, look, Eli White I love, but he's cooled off a little bit.
For
Verdugo's
sure.
cooled off. You won't Profar coming back. Hey, what's that word? How do you say that word, Allie, where you hit both ways? Not switch hitter, but the other word where you can throw with your right hand.
Ambidextrous.
Say it again.
Ambidextrous.
She does use the B. I was going to say ambidextrous.
Oh.
I was trying to see if, like, if that the B in there was silent, because it showed up and I was like, ambidextrous. Oh, okay.
I think the thing about Profar coming back in the lineup, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, it feels like we've spent 2 years talking, like, waiting on the next person.
Yeah.
Like, have we not? Like, oh, this guy's injured, this guy's coming back, this guy's coming back,
well,
that guy's coming back, this guy's injured, he'll come back, Ozzie will come back from the toe, or this guy will come back from the hip. It's like we don't have that guy right now other than Profar. It's like we're not waiting on anybody.
Well,
like,
you know, it's interesting to me because you were talking about this morning how the conversation goes in circles around Kyle Pitts, right?
Yes.
Because
you
it's
do.
Not individual. It's the same thing with the Braves right now. Oh, well, we're waiting on this. Oh,
right.
Well, we're waiting on this. Oh, well, we have a day off, so maybe tomorrow will be better. Yeah, there's just this conversation keeps going on and on and on. We're not getting anywhere.
That's my frustration with some of the people hitting me up saying, blow it up. And I responded, you don't normally blow up teams with a bunch of team friendly contracts. It's been 2 years of this. Okay. Well, didn't have a Ronald Acuña for how many games? How long? A year of it. You've been Ozzie was essentially hurt all last year. He started to heat up. You know, Austin Riley missed how many games last year? Like, it hasn't been 2 years of not hitting.
Sean Murphy's was gone basically third of the season.
Now,
he never got hot.
Let me rephrase it. It has been 2 years of not hitting, or a year and a half. But it hasn't been a year and a half of the core not hitting. Now, Michael Harris has been, he was banged up too last year, but he hasn't been really good since midway through 2023. At the plate, anyways. He's a freaking...
Yeah, he's phenomenal playing defense, which I've told you, I've been concerned for a while now that he's just Jason Hayward.
Yeah, I called him. You got mad at me this morning off the air. I said he's a Rafael Belliard of center fielders because he's a phenomenal fielder, but he's not hitting his. He hasn't hit a home run since the middle of April.
Yeah, was it Angelton Simmons that was just a beast at short and you just knew he was going to hit 200 for a while there?
Yeah, but then he left. Went to the Angels and hit like 300 one year. So
where did that come from?
It's just like another shortstop that decided to leave Atlanta, and he just hit a home run yesterday.
Yeah, that's frustrating, isn't it? Getting the post-Atlanta bump, if you will.
That guy.
Anyways, I don't like that.
Let's hit this mic'd up.
Not rare.
Reminder, today's mic'd up, brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. So hopefully when my family and I get to Buffalo's, there's nobody we need an autograph from. Or maybe I would be lucky to have that. So the story rolls is this. Went over to Charlotte, obviously, last weekend. My buddy that went with me, his name is Doug. He bought my son an autographed Dale Earnhardt Jr. book. Dale Earnhardt Jr. has a couple of kids' books out.
Mm-hmm.
Buster Finds Victory Lane or something like that. And this sequel was Buster's Back on Track, right? So my son looks at it and he's like, hey, Dad, somebody scribbled in the book, you know? And I'm like, hey, that's Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s. That's Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s autograph, dude. Like, just calm down. Like, and he's like, I don't want it. Can we erase it? And I'm like, no. That's a pretty cool thing to have. He's a pretty famous person, NASCAR Hall of Famer, obviously. Everybody knows who Dale Earnhardt Jr. is. Doing a great job on the Amazon broadcast, by the way.
Dang.
But I just, it got into a deeper conversation with what do autographs mean to kids these days? And if it's not in person, I don't know about y'all. I've bought autographs things like online, like eBay. I used to go on eBay and be like, oh, man, this picture is autographed by so-and-so. And you would buy. Like, I don't think autographs mean as much anymore at all, especially if it's not in person. But I don't know that, like, 20 years from now, you're even going to want anybody to sign anything. It's all kind of selfie mode.
Disagree.
Okay.
First off, if Ridge doesn't want that book, I will buy him an unscribbled-on version.
Yeah, he's not getting rid of the book.
And I can take the scribbled-on version. I will take that off his hands. I'll remedy this issue for him.
Yeah.
Second, you're making that assumption based off, or that stance based off of your soon-to-be 4-year-old son.
No, not entirely. I mean, I was a high school coach for 4 years. They didn't care anything about having anybody sign anything. It was always selfies.
I think, yes, selfies are a thing, but there are still plenty of the autograph-seeking people out there. And look, somebody sends you, here's an autographed name your favorite celebrity thing that you're gonna put it on your wall.
Yeah.
You know, they still sell with great value. I just think it's more about the experience is now become, if I meet someone, I got to get a selfie. I do think that's replaced it instead of, let me get a napkin for you to write on. I agree to an extent, but I don't think that people still don't want, I think you still want autographed things. I think it's why, I think that there's still the collector side of that, but if it's in person and you don't have anything for them to sign,
right,
you just assume get a selfie, and then you'd probably take a picture of that.
Yeah.
Or blow it up, I mean.
I'm with Bo on that, because I remember back when I got my glove signed in person by Jeff Francoeur. So I think something that maybe is that you get that's pre-signed doesn't mean as much. But if you get something signed
in person,
then I think that value is still there. And I think people still really want that. And like Bo said, if you don't have anything to sign, then the next step is the picture. But I think people would still love to get something autographed in person, like you see them signing it for you. I think something that pre-signed, it takes away a little bit of that spunk.
I completely disagree that anyone really wants autographs anymore. You want the clout, right? Everybody's got MeTV with their phone.
MeTV.
And putting on social media. And you want to look like, hey, I know Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yes.
You want
we were hanging out.
Exactly.
No big deal.
So
just me and DJ.
Maybe if you're looking to, resell or have a nice collection, maybe an autograph is a little bit more valuable to you, but I know I have thrown, I maybe shouldn't admit this, but I've thrown away autographs
I have
gotten personally because I just don't, don't see what the point
what am I supposed to do
anymore.
With this at this point?
I'm like, oh, I got a photo with this person. I don't need the autograph anymore.
I will say, like, if I had a ticket.
It.
To, like,
nah.
Yeah, I was going to say, the one that I threw away, I'm not even going to say the name, it's a Baseball Hall of Famer, but I didn't get it personally signed. I just threw it away. She got it personally signed. But I think if it was a ticket stub, that was autographed, like I was at the game.
Yeah.
Like maybe that's different. Maybe you put it under a picture of you and your family or something at the game.
Yeah, one trend I started to see pop up a lot on social media, but it takes time, so it'd be a pro move on the athlete or celebrity's side, is you take a selfie and then have them sign it on the phone.
Wow.
So that's like a double tap right there.
Wow, I didn't even think about that.
What?
When's the last time you got an autograph?
How does that work?
Like with the pen on your phone.
The markup on the phone.
Last time I got an autograph, Grady Jarrett signed I brought some cleats. This is before I started obviously working here. I was still in college. Grady Jarrett signed one of my cleats when I went to training camp.
Nice.
That's cool.
Nice. I can't even think of a time that I got an autograph in person. I'm trying to think when I was a kid.
Don Sutton once.
That's a good one.
Actually, Bill Laimbeer was a complete blank head to me.
Shocker.
Dale Jr., when I was still at the old station, and I think I was still
a junior autograph
still
in
intern.
Person?
Yeah, so he actually signed one of my the only diecast I had of his at the time, which was the red Budweiser car. He signed the windshield.
Nice.
I don't have a picture of him doing it because I don't even know the camera.
I was gonna say, it's such a recent thing. Hey, want to hear from you guys on the other side. It's the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. Two questions. If you met a celebrity in person, you getting a selfie or an autograph? And who's the coolest autograph you gotten? Also, Kyle Pitts, want to have that conversation as well. You trading Kyle Pitts? Or you wanting him to stay in Atlanta Falcon? Are you a Pitts believer? That's 404-726-0929 at 929 Morning Shift. Let us know how you feel. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We'll be right back.